Don't miss out on your opportunity to understand your crucial role in God's kingdom work. It all starts with being humble, which means knowing exactly where you fit in God's plan. When you're humble, you can join hands with other believers, and each of you brings unique gifts like preaching, helping, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, or even showing kindness. Together, you'll see that even though you have different talents, you're all on the same team with the same goal. So what's your special gift? Are you ready to be a crucial part of God's building plan?
God's Resistance.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to God's Resistance. For this episode, we're glad to have you look on this with us. We are in Romans 12, and we're going to be Romans 12, 3 through 8. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, it says that he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's referencing a psalm in the Old Testament. And in that psalm, it says he gave gifts unto men, yea, even the wicked. The problem is that with our gifts, a lot of times when we don't have God in the center of our lives, we just use it upon ourselves for self-gain, for self-glory, all those kind of things. But we are interested in what the purpose of these gifts are that God has given to us. And so when we look at the scriptures, I'd like to pull out a few points. So let's just look right over there. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but set your mind to be right-minded, even as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the beginning part here is, I say to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. This is really bringing out a point of humility. Now, if you were to think of the word humility, I wonder what your definition would be. Most of what I have gathered is that humility is almost something like a self-loathing, you know, like you're embarrassed for any kind of things that you would do because you don't want to seem full of pride or arrogance. You don't want to be boastful. So humility in that part seems to be something like, you know, just kind of play down my abilities and just make it, oh, it's nothing. I can't really do this. I'm not really good at that. That kind of a thing. But when we look in the scripture, that is not the true definition of humility, especially when we look at what is here. What does it say here? Well, here it says that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but set your mind to be right-minded or sober-minded, another translation says, even as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So basically what we're supposed to be doing is taking a good square look at who you really are. Who are you? Just matter of fact, and what are your capabilities? Humility is being able to look at us to not embellish things to be higher than they ought to be, nor to drag it down and make it lower than it needs to be, but simply to say, here is what is. And so maybe a good question we could ask ourselves is, what has God dealt to me? And so I'd ask you, how has God gifted you? Never mind what others can and can't do. What can we see God doing in and through us with the eye of faith? These are grace-enabled gifts. I'm not simply just talking about, I know how to build stone walls or whatever kind of thing like that. Now, no doubt, God has given us all the ability to be able to do all things that we're doing, but I'm specifically talking about grace-enabled gifts that God has given to us. It's not just, you know, improve upon things more and more and get better and better and learn some new skill. That's not what I'm talking about. Though the gifts that God does give us can be improved upon. They're like a seed deposited in us. So we've got to do something with that seed. We're either going to take that deposit and just kind of think, well, God, if he's going to do anything, if he's given me some kind of gift, he'll just make it all grow by himself without any cooperation on my part. No, he's given the seed. He's given the ground in which that seed is planted, our heart. He's given us a new heart. And now he says, now take this gift and use it for my kingdom. And you can think about some of the other parables that Jesus brought up about the talents. You know, some gave 10 talents, some 5, some 1, and they increase the talents they were given, except for the one man, which Jesus said was a wicked man. So then the question is, why humility? What does humility have to do with me figuring out how I fit into God's crucial plan in his kingdom? It's because God's plan is not for every man to be an island. God's plan is for unity through one purpose, for one purpose, for one kingdom. And where do we get that? Well, let's look over here. He says, for even as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we, the many, are one body in Christ, and each one members one of another. So he's helping us to see that there is a unified purpose. There's a unified kingdom. Now, we're told here in this scripture that Christ is the king. Christ is the brain of the whole body. He is the head. He tells the body what to do. And the body is one unit. We are members, as this tells us, of God's body. Christ then unifies us together for his purposes. So the way the world works right now, it's kind of like, I've got these abilities. How can I make myself better? How can I improve myself? How can I improve my situation? Never mind the other people. I want to make things better. God is saying, you are part of one body when you become a believer. And Christ being the head, think about it. If you have a body and your head tells your body what to do, if you wanted to get a cup of water, think about all that goes into getting a cup of water. It's not just that your brain has to get the cup of water by itself and then everybody else, you know, just kind of sits back and says, well, if he wants a cup of water, then he can go get it. The brain's got a thought and then dictates to the entire body all the blood that needs to pump to go to that place, the nerves that need to fire to make certain muscles fire, and all the muscles going, and you're surprised when you hurt yourself how many muscles are interconnected to do one thing. All of those interconnected muscles work together simply to go get a glass of water and then to drink it and enjoy it. You see, the head commands the body. And we would see if the body just acted all crazy and did whatever it wanted, parts of our body, we would think that body's diseased. But Christ is the head of the body, and we are said to be his members. So it's no longer about us anymore. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. We are members of God's body. We are a member of Christ. Christ is our head. And with that, if we're a member of his body, and that said all believers are that way, then we are members of one another. So then there are many different parts of the body, which helps us to realize this point here of unity. Many different parts of one body working together. And not all parts do the same thing, and that's perfectly okay. They don't have to have the same responsibility. They don't have to do the same tasks. But every part of the body works at its best with the other parts. So you have one function. I remember watching a documentary. It was a military documentary. They were doing some operation over in Afghanistan. And for months they had to prepare for this. And each person had a specific task. And the thing that struck me in watching all this happen is you didn't see these guys looking over and just being like, oh, this guy, he's got a way better job than I do. I wish my job was as cool as his. And then they're arguing. No, they were like, here is my own task. This is what I do. That guy does this task. That guy does this task. And now that we're going forward in this greater mission than just ourselves, I don't have to worry about if our thing's going to be done here or there, because that guy has a specific job and so do I. So I'm going to do my specific job. And then as a unit, that task force went in and accomplished its purpose. And it's the same with God. It's the same with his body. It's the same with his kingdom. We are unified to work together for one specific end. So we don't have the same responsibility or task, but every part of the body is going to work at its best with the other parts. And like I said before, this isn't about us anymore. It is about the body. It's about God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom. And so then we look over here and we find that there are different functions. We see then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So that's God doing it on purpose. If prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry in the ministry, or he who teaches in the teaching, or he who exhorts in the encouragement, or he who shares in simplicity, or he who takes the lead in diligence, or he who shows mercy in cheerfulness. So that's those kind of things. But let's just kind of go through this. So we have, according to the scripture, we have different gifts on purpose. So what are these gifts at their core? Now, I read through this list right here, and there's specific gifts that, you know, are listed there, but I don't think that necessarily they're all going to manifest themselves in exactly the same way. So somebody may be called to preach, and they may be preaching out, on a church at a pulpit. Maybe they're preaching in a home. Maybe they're preaching off in a field somewhere. Maybe they're preaching out on a street corner. I have no idea. It's going to be manifested some way, shape, or form, that gift to preach. So what are these gifts at their core is kind of our idea. How are these gifts expressed? That's kind of an individual thing that you're going to have to figure out as you pray before God, your maker, and say, how have you gifted me? What are my abilities? Now, Lord, how do you want me to use this in my specific situation? So let's go to the first one here. He said, prophesying. If we look back here, he says prophecy according to the proportion of faith. So when we think prophecy, I think a lot of times people just think future events. You know, I can tell what's going to happen. Somebody that likes a Nostradamus. I remember when I was in probably middle school, I heard about Nostradamus and these things that he had foretold. I think mainly one of them was like Hitler. That enthralled me. It also scared me half to death that a man could know those kind of things. Now, I'm not saying Nostradamus was some Christian man. Far from it, as far as I can remember. However, prophecy is not simply just telling future events. When we look inside of the scripture, it is for a teachable reason. There is something God is trying to get a hold of people about, and it's not just for self-aggrandizement. And the thing that bothers me in this present day is you can see flyers that are stuck up certain places. Prophet so-and-so is going to be at this church and prophet this way. And then somebody stands up and says, I'm a prophet. And there's something about that just rubs me the wrong way, mainly because I don't think that they understand what the true function of the prophet was. When you look in the Old Testament, a prophet called God's people back to the truth that they had strayed from. And in doing, sometimes they did foresee future events to tell people, this is going to happen if you don't repent, judgment will come. So yes, there was a foretelling of future events, but all of it was for a reason. It wasn't for self-aggrandizement. But really, it's not just telling future events, but it's literally telling forth God's word. So maybe God's given you the ability to understand his word, and then in understanding it, distilling it down, explaining it to people, and then applying it so that you have basically a specific message for specific people. You can bring it before them. So that really can happen inside of preaching, perhaps. You are declaring God's truth out. You're able to grab hold of his word, his message. He's got a specific message for right now. Now, I've heard of these things, and I think I've been in a few situations where somebody stands up and says, I have a word for you. Sometimes I step back with caution on that because a lot of people seem to have a word for this, that, and the other. I simply am just talking about declaring God's truth forward, and we're to do this in his grace. God has given us different gifts for doing different certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then speak out with as much faith as God has given you. That's essentially the idea behind this verse. Whatever kind of faith God has given you, that's what you need to use. Don't go above and beyond yourself. The next one he says here is ministry, or in ministry, or ministry in the ministry, ministering in the ministry. Okay, what a different way to say things. But ministry literally here is just like serving, whether an official position, like you're a deacon, or maybe it's just simply somebody that is helping others, you know, with things that they need. You know, like the deacons we find in Acts, they were helping wait tables and help widows and certain things. So maybe you're just one of those people that just looks for opportunities to serve. Okay, so maybe God's gifted you like that. What does that look like? You're going to have to pray and figure out, Lord, how do I do this in the situation I'm in right now? Then he said about teaching, or he who teaches in the teaching. This is all in proportion of your faith. So in teaching, maybe you have a gift to be able to communicate difficult subjects in a way that helps other people to understand. Maybe you do that in talks. Maybe you do that on YouTube like I'm doing right now. Maybe you write books. Who knows? It expresses itself in some way, but God has gifted you to be a teacher. And then we look over here and it says, or he who exhorts in the encouragement or the exhortation in another one. But literally exhorting here is the same word that is used for the Holy Spirit, the paraclete. Parakaleo is the word that's used here. And it literally means to encourage. The idea is to come alongside someone else. So in exhorting, it's like you're seeing somebody, maybe they're drooping, they're going the wrong way. You come alongside them and say, hey, I'm concerned about you. I wish that you would pay attention to this. This is what the scriptures say. Walk like this, brother. And you're not just wagging a finger at them, but you're coming alongside of them, lifting them up, encouraging them to go the right way. And all of this could be, you know, like a call to repentance. Maybe you just want to warn somebody. Maybe there's a time for comfort or instruction. And encouragement literally means you're instilling courage in people. He says over here also that, or he who shares in simplicity or giving is another translation. Maybe God has gifted you in that place of being a giver. Maybe you could be a treasurer. Maybe you could take care of money of a local church and then you give it out to wherever it's supposed to go. That could be its official way of doing it. But maybe it is that you could be blessed by God financially, and you're somebody that has the money to give towards God's work. I know people that are like that. And he says you're to do it with simplicity, singleness, simplicity, sincerity, mental honesty, not like a hypocrite, but do it for the right reason. Don't be stingy, be generous. Maybe you have a gift to be a ruler. So in being a ruler, you are to rule diligently. So we're told here that in ruling diligently, it's, you know, God gives certain gifts where people have authority over someone else. Can you imagine if the church was just a place of anarchy? That would be terrible. We don't really go for anarchy, but maybe you're in charge. Some are naturally gifted in this way to preside over, to manage. Maybe it's an ongoing position, or maybe they're just in charge of some kind of a meeting, but God gives somebody that ability. Maybe it's a position in the church, an official position, or even influence in the church. He says, do it with diligence. Do it quickly. Do it earnestly. Maybe you're somebody that just shows mercy. You show mercy to the poor, to the sick. You show mercy to people in need, but he says, do it cheerfully. Don't be sour and don't do it while you're hating it and kind of grumbling under your breath. This is the gifts that God has given. How all these are to be displayed, each one of us is going to have to figure out. So dear listener, how do you fit in God's plan? Your part is crucial in his plan, but you need to be humble and you need to submit yourself to him and to the body of Christ for the glory of his kingdom. Make sure to subscribe to this YouTube channel and turn on the bell for notifications. Also, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and then also find our podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. Make sure that you put a 5-star review on there. That helps us in the algorithm. We love you all.